Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. My, let me get my book here, right here. I got some markings here. I'm going to give you a chance to come up and say something about if you got a verse on Jezebel. Like I said, I've never heard of anybody calling their daughter Jezebel. And Jezebel was a woman that God despised. He despised her. And Jezebel wasn't ashamed of what she did. She wasn't ashamed at all. And Jezebel, look in chapter 2 of Revelation, and this is talking to the Thyatira, the church. As I know this is a church age, and I've got written down here, Thyatira is from 500 to 1000 A.D., and when you go through the seven churches, it represents a period of time, and it represents those time periods. In Revelation 3, it goes from 1,000, first verse, all the way down to verse 6, it represents about 1,000 A.D. to 1,500. And you have some of the great reformers in that time period. And then you had 1,500, the Church of the Philadelphia, 1,500 to 1,900. You had Finney, Moody, those men. But it also represents something in the tribulation that's coming. And it represents historically in the past as well. So Revelation chapter 2, and look at verse 18. Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass. And that you find that in the Revelation chapter 1. It describes him. Then it tells you, go back to Revelation 1. It describes the Lord Jesus Christ and shows you that he has that feet like a brass and all that. I mean, he's in control. Even though the world right now and the devil thinks they got everything under control, one day the Lord's going to come back, take care of the whole mess, and straighten it all out. And I'm glad. You don't know how many times I prayed that I said, Lord, you come back and straighten this mess out, Lord. This is you got crooked politicians, you got crooked men in office, and how in the world did that happen? Well, the God of this world set it up. He runs the thing. So, and we just got to keep on trotting on. I was talking about all the people with conspiracy things and all the guys that going buying weapons and everybody's trying to get a bunker and all that stuff. I told one guy, I said, you going to kill somebody when they come up to your door? Is that what, I said, the Lord never told us. He said, put up your sword. Told Simon Peter, put up your sword. You're supposed to be trying to win people to Jesus Christ, trying to be a testimony, a light. You're not supposed to be out trying to kill people. And he said, what about Ruby Ridge? What about, you know, David Koresh and down there? That was unjust. A lot of stuff that went on unjust. A lot of stuff in this world is unjust what happens. But I'm not going to try to kill people, send them to hell. I'm going to try to get them saved and witness to them, see them saved. But here in Revelation chapter 1, it says in verse 13, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, girded about the paps with a golden girdle, his head and his hair white as wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as the flame of fire. There's Superman right there. Here's the Superman. The world thinks that Superman's real. They walk around, they got the big S on their, you know, car and their shirt and all that stuff. They think he's real. But the real guy, the real Superman is Jesus Christ. He's the real guy. He's the real one. And then they got Santa Claus running around, Santa Claus, and everybody's ringing the bell, trying to make some money, and they, you know, dress him up. But then it says his feet were as like on fine brass. I dealt with a bunch of black Muslims. And they tried to say Jesus Christ was black because of his feet, fine brass. I said, no, come on, man. Get off that. I mean, I said he wasn't white. He wasn't black. He was Jewish. He was a Jew. I've said this to the Muslims before. I said, hey, the problem, you all have a racist problem. I said, if Jesus Christ was black and he died for me, I'd still worship him. I said, you wouldn't. You wouldn't if he was white. Isn't that something? I said, who's got the race problem? And then they shut up. They don't know what to say about that. But it says he had in his right hand, back 15, his feet were like on the fine brass as they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And we know what the two-edged sword is. And his countenance was as a sun shineth in his strength. And the Bible talks about Jesus Christ called, it says S-U-N in Malachi, calls him the Son of Righteousness, coming with healing in his wings and his brightness of the sun. When we went out to the Creation Museum, and I was sitting in there, and they were showing the stars and the planets. They showed the earth, and then they showed the sun. Man, I was crying in there, shouting and everything else, thinking about how big our God is. And then when they went through the whole universe, then they said, here's the universe and the whole solar system. They said, the universe is just a little dot. Our God is that big. I mean, I was shooing some ants off the thing today, and I thought, we're even smaller than ants. We're smaller than ants. But he still cares for us, still loves us. And what a thing that is. And it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. We all would. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Woo! Man, he'd been there from the beginning. He'll be there at the end. Amen. He'd been in my life from the beginning, man, when I was born. He watched over me, kept me from getting killed and dying and going to hell. He knew he was going to save my soul, and I would call on him in the right circumstance. I'm not a Calvinist, but I knew he was watching over me. Amen. How many times he watched over me and had mercy on me. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he said, and he had laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Amen. He's got the keys. Amen. Go back to Revelation chapter 2. And we're talking about Jezebel here tonight. And Revelation chapter 2, the church of Thyatira, verse 18. These things saith the Son of God. It says, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. His feet are like on the fine brass. And brass in the Bible is always a type of judgment. And the Bible tells us that when he comes back, he's going to stomp out the winepress of the wrath of God. There's going to be 200 million men in the Valley of Megiddo. And we've got to see the Valley of Megiddo. And man, you think about the Lord stomping people out. I mean, fine brass is judgment. And he's all the enemies of God, he's going to stomp out. And the Bible says, his feet like brass. And it says, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. He says, and the last to be more than the first. He's, man, you did more than when you first started. Amen. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, he says, that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. So what is Jezebel doing? She's still doing it right now. She's still seducing people. And her name goes way back in the book of Kings. She goes way back. And then her father came from Canaan, which is Ham's son. And he goes back to Zidonian. And man, and she came all the way. She was a Zidonian. And that's what she was. And she seduced and the servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed on the idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. I mean, she wasn't ashamed of what she was doing. She wasn't ashamed of anything. And then look what it says, verse 22. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation. There it is. Except they repent of their deeds. And you know, reading Revelation chapter 17, 18, you'll find a woman riding this beast. And this woman, as we know, as the Roman Catholic Church. She's riding this beast. And what do you think her name is? Her name is Jezebel. Jezebel. And she's got a cup in her hand. And she's seducing kings and nations to follow the Antichrist. And she's seduced, the Bible says, to seduce my servants to commit fornication. I believe a person can commit spiritual fornication by worshiping some other god. I believe this. There's people that get saved. And even they get saved, they go on for God for a little bit, and then they turn their back on the Lord. I believe they're committing spiritual fornication. They're jumped in bed with Jezebel. They're in bed with Jezebel, messing around with Jezebel and all her deeds and all that stuff. And they've quit worshiping Jesus Christ, quit reading his word, quit praying. They start, they do the same thing that she does with the 450 prophets and the 400 of those of the groves that she had. She had cast them into bed, and she gets in with them. And I believe Christians end up doing the same thing. Saved people end up committing spiritual fornication. She said, can a person do such a thing? I believe with all my heart they can. I believe a Christian can go away from God and turn their back on the Lord and commit spiritual fornication. It says, look what it says in verse 22. Behold, I cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which has searched the reins in the hearts. I mean, man, she's connected with churches. She's connected with churches here. It says, all the churches, and kill her children with death, and all the churches that I know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. And I give unto every one of you according to their works. And I mean, I realize this is going into tribulation period. The churches, there's churches right now that's committing spiritual fornication against the Lord. They're worshiping Baal. And guess where Baal came from? Jezebel. Came from Jezebel. Go back in Genesis chapter 10. Go back to Genesis chapter 10. And look at this. Here's her daddy. Her daddy shows up. He's a son of Canaan. Son of Canaan. It's called Sidon. And Genesis chapter 10. And you always, what you got to do is go back and trace. You got to trace the first mention of something. And you trace it, and it comes all the way through the Bible. It sets the stage for what's coming. And Jezebel, she's been around for a long time. I've got a marker here in Genesis chapter 10. And look at verse 15. Genesis 10, 15. Actually, back up to about, go to 10. Go to 10. And the beginning of his kingdom was Baal. And so on, going down to verse 14, 15. Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Seth. And look at it, take your Bible, look in 1 Chronicles. Look in 1 Chronicles. Clears it up. 1 Chronicles and, got it marked there. 1 Chronicles 1. 1 Chronicles 1, 14. Tells you, here's his name, Sidon. 1 Chronicles. It calls him with an S in Genesis, but then in 1 Chronicles, it goes with a Z, and it tells you he's the Canaan's son. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, if I can get there quick. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. And look at, what verse is that? 13. Did I say 13? Yeah, look at 13. It says, Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn. So, Sidon is the firstborn of Canaan. Canaan was the one that God put a curse on. He put a curse on Canaan because of what Ham did to Noah. He put a curse on him. And the curse came down, and the curse, man, happened where he got into all kinds of fornication. He got hooked up with doing fornicating things. And take your Bible, look in Judges. Look in Judges. Look in Judges and look at Judges chapter... where is it? Judges 10, 12. We'll go back to Genesis in a minute. Judges chapter 10, verse 12. This thing goes deep. It goes deep. When Jezebel shows up, she is no fear God. She just does what she wants, and she thinks she can do what she wants. Her father was a king of Sidon, and that's why Ahab married her. And he took over, he was the priest of Sidon, and then he took over the throne and became king. And she was a priestess for the Sidonian and for Baal, and that's what she did. She worshipped Baal, and she got Solomon, or actually Ahab, to worship Baal, and then Solomon got into worshiping Baal with all the women he had. So he got into a bad scene, got into the wrong bed with the wrong one. So, in Judges chapter, I didn't mark it in my Bible here. Judges 10:12. Judges 10:12. That's what it is. Judges 10:12. Judges 10. Look at this. The Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Malonites did oppress you, and ye cried unto me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore, I will deliver you no more. God says, no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Sometimes I think the Lord does that with his own children. Go ahead, cry for a while. Go cry to them people that you forsook me for, and you go out and mess around and go cry to them. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you into the time of your tribulation. Notice tribulation. He says, and the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. They started getting rid of their gods. And Moses came down off the mountain. He said, man, get rid of these gods. Get rid of them. And they threw them, you know, chopped up that bull and that they had made, that Aaron had made, and threw it in the sea, or actually in the river. And what happens is the Zidonians go through all the way through your Bible. Go back to Genesis chapter 49. Go back to Genesis 49. They go through your Bible, and they keep popping up. And they proselyting people. And they proselyted Israel. They got in bed with Israel, and they started proselyting the Israelis. And they, rather than worshiping God like they're supposed to, they started worshiping Baal, thinking Baal was going to be the one that's going to give them prosperity. But it was more of a sexual, sensual thing. You know what? What's pushing America right now? What's pushing America is the sexual revolution. It's pushing America. And money and power and the sexual sins that's pushing America. And then what happened is Christians are jumping in bed with Jezebel. And Genesis chapter 49, and look at verse 13. Genesis 49:13. And back up to 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. This is a prophecy that Jacob gives about his children. He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet. Shiloh come. That's talking about Jesus Christ. And it says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine. There's 2,000 years between them, that verse right there. And his clothes in the blood of grapes. Notice that. That's why I believe that what Eve ate was a grape. That's where the lipstick come from and all that stuff. And it says, his eyes shall be red with wine, his teeth white with milk, and Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be on the Zidon. Zebulun, he started turning towards, on his coast, on his border was Zidon, and they were worshipers of Baal. So the Lord, he's upset with Israel because every time he turns around, they're going back to Zidon. They're going back to the Zidonian gods, and they're worshiping the Zidonian gods. Jezebel shows up. Take your Bible, look in 1 Kings. She shows up, and she is a piece of work. She is a piece of work. I mean, she talks Ahab into all kinds of sin, and Ahab repents, and then she talks him into more. She gets him going into more stuff. 1 Kings chapter 6, where it shows up first. 1 Kings 6. 1 Kings 6. And look at verse 1. 1 Kings 6, 1. He said, it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of the Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Zeph, in the second month, they began to build the house of the Lord. And the house which the King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 80 cubits, and so on. He started building God's house, and Solomon had many wives. And he started having all these wives that started persuading him they need to build a temple to the Zidonian God. And Solomon starts doing exactly what he was warned not to do. And he starts building this temple. Go to 2 Kings 23. Go to 2 Kings 23. And he's built a place for the Zidonian goddess. And he starts worshiping at that altar with his wife and his wives, put it that way. So in 2 Kings 23, you'll find in verse 13, back up to verse 4. The king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. and for the groves. So what happened is they started putting all the vessels in there. They said, well, we got rid of God. We got rid of Jehovah God. We want to get rid of him. So let's put vessels of Baal in the place of God, in the place where it's holy. And the vessels that were made for Baal and for the groves and for all the host of heaven, and he burned them without Jerusalem in the field of Kitron. And right after, right outside of Jerusalem is that river, and there's Kitron, and the fields of Kitron. And that's the river there too. And carried the ashes of them onto Baal, Bethel, I mean. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah, in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon, to the planets, to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem and onto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron. And I mean, he started cleaning house. Josiah, he started cleaning the house, getting the thing cleaned up. Now, and the Bible says, and verse 6, and he brought out the groves from the house of the Lord without the Jerusalem onto the brook Kidron and burned it in the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. He went and took it and said, hey, y'all wanted to worship him? Here's the remaining of your God. And he break down the houses of the Sodomites. And what the Baalites, what they did, isn't it funny? The Baalites, they produced Sodomites. The Baalites produced Sodomites because, it's, like I said, they were sex crazy. The Baalites, the Sodomites is men with men, women with women. And where are we at right now in America? Where got the Sodomites, they got their rights, they got all this stuff, they can say what they want and do what they want. And who ever thought 10 years ago that you had to be politically correct with the Sodomites to get an election? And he break down the house of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. And isn't it something, the Sodomites wanted to get God's house. They wanted God's house. So they built right next to it, got in there right next to it. They started putting their little statues and Baal worshipers inside of God's house. And lately, y'all have heard for the past few years, the Catholic priests all being locked up and being prosecuted, the Catholic Church, for all the Sodomites in the Catholic Church. Sodomites are queers, homosexuals. And they started, you know, the Catholic Church has spent billions of dollars to settle cases, billions, because all the Sodomites is connected. With Jezebel is all connected. And take your Bible, look back in 1 Kings 18. I'm not going to keep you long on this tonight, but 1 Kings 18. Actually, 17. Look at verse 29. 16:29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Orah, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Orah, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Ahab, the son of Orah, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as it had been light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. Jeroboam started this thing. Jeroboam, and we got to see the throne that Jeroboam built for himself and the chair that he sat in. I said this last week that we went up to where Jeroboam had his up in Dan, where he had it all set up. And we went there and Brother Glenn said, why don't you get in that seat right there, Jeroboam, and sit there. I said, no, I ain't sitting in that seat, brother. He ain't gonna have me take no picture of me sitting in that seat. I don't want the Lord to be mad at me. And he says, well, it's just a seat. No, it was a place where Jeroboam started and worshiping other gods. And he says, and it came to pass, as he had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. You know, the kingdom split. You had the northern tribes with Jeroboam, the 10 northern tribes, and then you had Judah and Benjamin and the Levites in the south. And man, they went up to Jeroboam, said, we go, you know, we're against David. We're going to go for our own self. We're going to split the kingdom. And they split the kingdom. And out of all the kings of Israel, the Bible says Ahab provoked God more to anger. And I mean, he marries Jezebel, and Jezebel encouraged him to do wrong. That's a bad thing when you got a wife that encourages you to live like the devil. And the Bible says, in his days did Helkah the Benjamite built Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abram's, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, and his youngest son, Sebuk, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. And then chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, everything we're reading here is going to be a repeat in the tribulation period. I mean, they're not going to have rain. They're going to have, you know, there's going to be, you know, Moses and Elijah's coming back. You know that? Moses and Elijah's coming back in the tribulation period to preach. They're coming back. You say, I don't know if I agree with that. Take your Bible, look in Revelation chapter 11. Look at Revelation 11. Moses and Elijah's coming back. God's going to send those that were a thorn in the side of Ahab, and Moses was a thorn in the side of the Egyptian Pharaoh and the rest of the kingdoms. He's going to send them back. Revelation 11. Talking about the two witnesses. This is wild, man. You talking about, you know, the coronavirus, that's something, but this is going to be wild stuff that's going to happen. Wild stuff. And look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 11. And there was given unto me a reed, and it says, like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. So 1,260 days is what? That's about 3 years. Is that right? That's about 3 years. They prophesy for 3 years. Moses and Elijah come back preaching to people for 3 years. These are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. I'll never forget, I remember Sam Gitt preaching about Moses and Elijah coming back, and Moses fired up, ready to come back, and Elijah saying, come on, man. Gabriel, what are you doing with that trumpet? He says, I'm getting ready to blow the trumpet. That's when you all have to go back down. And he said, man, hold off, will you? Just hold off, huh? And Moses said, what are you worried about, Elijah? What are you worried about? He said, well, you've died. I've never died before. And I'm reading the Bible. I'm going to have to die. I'm going to get my head cut off. My Lord, I don't want to go back down there for that. And you know, Sam, it was funny when he was saying all that, but this is going to happen. This is really going to happen. And we're not that far from it. I believe this. We're in chapter 3 of Revelation right now, at the end of near the end of the chapter. We're close to Revelation chapter 4. And then after that, it just goes, man, it just skyrockets, goes off. And it says, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in the sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Woo! That's going to be something to see. I mean, man, blowtorch coming out of their mouth, fry people. And it says, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, don't you know they're going to have a hard time trying to kill these guys? They're going to try to kill Moses and Elijah. The whole time they're going to try to kill him. Finally, they do. Finally, they get him. They get both of them. The Antichrist gets power over them and kills them. If any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must in the manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Man, they're going to be walking around, and you say, where are they going to be? They're going to probably mostly be around Jerusalem in that vicinity. And it says they're going to be walking around and bringing plagues upon the nations. And when they shall have finished their testimony, they can't do anything to them until they finish their job.
You know, the devil can't do nothing to you and or anybody unless God allows it. They can't, the devil can't touch you unless God allows it. Whatever happens, you got to say, okay, God, I'm trusting you. I'm just going to trust you. They have power to shut heaven. Look at verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them. He's going to concentrate on them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall be in the streets of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. You know what Sodom and Gomorrah was known for? Perversion. Sexual perversion. That's what they were known for. And man, I tell you what, this world right now is just crazy, going crazy. I mean, you can't even look on you got a smartphone, you can't even look, you can be looking at races and the next clip is some filth, man, they throw on there. Something that, you know, trying to catch you, trying to get your eyes. The devil wants to get your eyes. Jezebel behind the thing, Jezebel. And you say, it's the devil. Yeah, but the devil uses Jezebel. He always used, you ever notice that all the commercials for smoking, drinking, partying, they always got the prettiest girls and the good-looking guys. They always use that. They never show you somebody in a cancer ward and they're breathing out of their throat. They never show you that stuff. The devil knows how to get people. He knows how to just attract people towards sin. And a lot of Christians, like I said, committing spiritual fornication against the Lord. And you're going to be ashamed one day when you stand before the Lord. We're all going to be ashamed if you commit spiritual fornication against the Lord. And it says, these guys get killed. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 17. This Jezebel is something else. She is something else. God destroys Egypt with animals. God destroys it with animals and nature. Guess what he's going to do again? He's going to do the same thing. He's going to destroy things with nature. And look at this. In 3.5 years, Elijah said, it's not going to rain according to my word. And so he went and did according, verse 5, according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherub, that is before Jordan. Notice Jordan showing up. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh and so on. And let's get on down to 13. Elijah said unto her, fear not. That's talking about the woman taking care of him. Let's go down a little further. Go down to chapter 18. Let's go to chapter 18. In chapter 18, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went and showed himself unto Ahab, and there was about a sore famine in Samaria. Notice Samaria is the capital for the kingdom, Samaria. So Israel had Samaria. Samaria is in Syria, they claim now, Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah and so on, the governor of his house. And then it goes on down and look at verse 10. As the Lord thy God liveth, there's the nations or kingdom. And this is the servant of Ahab telling Elijah, Obadiah, telling him, said, Ahab searched everywhere for you. He's been trying to find you. And so Elijah said, you go tell Ahab I'm going to show up and I'll face him eyeball to eyeball. And verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And you know for a fact that Elijah, it wasn't the one that troubled Israel. It was Ahab and Jezebel. And the Bible says, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, thou that hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel on the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, the prophets of the grove, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. I mean, Jezebel. Jezebel had great influence. And you know, we got to go up to Mount Carmel. We went up to Mount, I said, where are we at? Brother Glenn said, we're at Mount Carmel. And Mount Carmel is on top. You can see Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo, right there in front of you. And we were at Mount Carmel. Guess what's on top of Mount Carmel? A Catholic church. Baal. Guess what? We got a picture. Linda and I are standing out there. I'm sure Sheila's been there. And we got a picture of Elijah. There's a big statue way up there. It's got Elijah with his foot on the prophets of Baal. And there's the Catholic church right there. What a thing. What a thing. I said, man, what a thing. Here you got a statue of Elijah on Mount Carmel, and with his foot on the bell, and he's got a sword in his hand, and there's the Catholic Church right over there, right there next to it. And then look on down. He says, these prophets sit at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on the Mount Carmel. And Elijah came and all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Let me say to you folks tonight watching, how long halt ye between two opinions? I mean, if God, look what he says. It's still true today. If the Lord God, if God be the Lord God, follow him. He said, but if Baal, then follow him. Make up your mind. You're going to follow God or you're going to follow Baal? You're going to follow Jezebel. And Jezebel was a priestess for Baal. And she pushed her religion on people. She pushed it. She forced it on people. Guess what they'll do today and what they're going to do in the future? Force their religion on people. And so you go on down, and Elijah, verse 25, Elijah said unto the prophet of Baal, Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock. And so he gives them a challenge. He says, we're going to see who God is. And if your God answers by fire and all that, so, you know, he dumped all the water down and said, dump all the water on the wood and make the wood wet. And we'll read on down. Let's read on down what they do. Verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took a bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. I mean, they got, it was probably about 8 o'clock in the morning. They're there, and they're crying out to Baal and saying, oh, Baal, hear us. And I never forget, I've watched that Ten Commandments and showed Yul Brynner taking his son, putting him on that statue of that false god. I can't remember the name of that false god, but puts it on that top of that false god and says, oh, maybe it was Baal. Maybe he was crying out to Baal. But he was praying to that false god for 3 days for his child to resurrect, but it didn't happen. But I don't know if that was true or not, but they put it in the movie. Amen. But verse 26, they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning to noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. And there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he is on a journey, or prevention. He sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud. The more Elijah mocked them, they started cutting themselves. And it says they cut themselves. They were bleeding all over the place. After that manner, with knives and lantlets, until the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and y'all know the story. You go on down, Elijah says, put more water on there, dump it on there, dump it on there. And Elijah took the stones, made an altar the way that God wanted him to do it. And look on down to verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. I mean, this thing went on to the evening sacrifice. And that's probably about 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock. That Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham. He just says 63 words. You talking about having power of God. 63 words. He said, Lord God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned, they have turned their hearts back again, that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire fell, and the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt offering, or burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape. When you read your Bible, you'll find, man, Israel goes into apostasy. Then Baal prospers, and they push in Baal worship. And then they get wiped out. They start wiping them out, but they keep coming back. The Baalites keep coming back. They show up all the way into the tribulation period. They are here now. I mean, the thing's still going on with Jezebel. Take your Bible, look in Revelation 17. I'm going to stop. Revelation 17. It's a real quick summary of things. Real quick. There's a deep study on that. This is a real quick summary on it. Revelation 17. And Jezebel's called the great whore. And there came one of the seven angels, verse 1, which had the seven veils, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show thee unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. I know her name, Jezebel, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And well, we know that by watching the news. You see the news, you see the Pope out there, millions and millions and millions of people. And he goes around the world and they roll out the red carpet and they bow down to him and kiss his hand, kiss his ring. They've kissed the feet right off statues. Right up in Philadelphia, kissed the feet right off of them, off of their Mary and all the rest of the statues. He says, and the inhabitants of the earth have made them drunk with the wine of her fornication. You know, a real Christian could see right through that mess. And a real Christian that's real, that believes the Bible, the early Christians seen right through that. When Rome said they were Christians, the real Christians saw right through it. They knew what that was, Baal worship. They knew it. They knew that when these guys walk around in black and, you know, carrying a cross and waving incense and all that stuff, they knew it was Baal worship. And look what the Bible says. And with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made them drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads, 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and colored, decked with gold, precious stones, and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name. The Bible talks about a forehead of a whorish woman. Talks about forehead. And it says, written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw it, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. And he goes on and tells about the woman and the 10 kings. It's coming. It's coming. Old Jezebel, she's coming back. And she's already, the spirit of Jezebel is already alive. Spiritual fornication already committed. So you got churches around the country, around the world that were Christian churches now following Rome, going following right along with Rome, doing what Rome says, whatever Rome says they do. And they'll follow that. And they're following the spirit of Jezebel. It says, I'll cast her into bed with those, and they're going to commit fornication to the great tribulation. Man, what a thing. Old Jezebel, that's one woman that God hates. He hates. That's a bad woman. And she's a spiritual witch. A spiritual witch. And she's led a lot of people astray. The Roman Catholic Church is, you know, you trace it all the way back to the Zidonians, all the way back there to the priesthood of the Zidonians. And, I don't have time to tell you about what God said he was going to do to Jezebel. And he did do it to her. Yeah, I mean, the dogs ate her and didn't leave anything but her hands and her feet. I mean, the dogs ate her. What a thing. But her spirit is still there. Her spirit's still pushing on and leading people astray. What a woman. Thank God for good women in the Bible. We have examples of good women in the Bible, like Hannah, and Moses' mother, and man, Mary, and others. And you know, Mary, like I said this morning, Mary's going to have something to say to a lot of so-called Christians that claim that they prayed to Mary. Mary's going to say, what'd you pray to me for? Yeah. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hey, man, don't get in bed with this one. Don't ever get in bed. I mean, Jezebel will take you down. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt you.